Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Bichette. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Brachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mind Shifters Radio.
Hello and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. I'm Tim Hayes. I'm your host for the first hour. And today is Friday, May 13th, 2022. As always, we're grateful to everyone who's joining us here today, whether you're listening live or through the archives. As we spend another couple of hours teaching and supporting people in using some of the most powerful, effective, efficient, and accessible tools I've ever encountered. These tools are available absolutely free on the internet at whyagain.org. If you go to that website and click on the Start Here link in the upper left-hand corner of the page, it'll take you to a page where you can download and read Chapter 24 of Dr. Michael Rice's book. His book is titled, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And that chapter of that book contains the narrative description of the primary tool in this work. That tool is known as the Reality Management Worksheet, sometimes called the Reality Management Wake-Up Sheet. And it's a tool I've been using to great effect for almost 18 years to improve the quality of my life and most of my relationships, and to turn any negative emotional experience into part of the infallible guidance system that each and every one of us has been given. You can also download the worksheet process itself, simple PDF file, click the link, download it, print it off, copy it as often as you'd like, and use it over and over again. You can also go to your app store and type in the three words, Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness. And before you're done typing the word forgiveness, you'll see the glowing heart icon. And if you choose to tap on it, it will let you download a completely free and private app that contains the Reality Management Worksheet, an abbreviated version of that worksheet process, and a copy of the Dragon Klingon game, which is a wonderful way to introduce these tools to even younger audiences. You can also download a whole host of audio files of shows like this one where people have been stepped through the worksheet process or given powerful testimonial about the use of that worksheet and how it has positively benefited them in their lives. We hope you choose to do that soon and often for a variety of reasons, beginning with how much we have seen these tools and their direct application in people's lives produce positive benefits. And on top of that, it tends to promote, stimulate comments or questions or answers or testimonials. And if you have any of those to share with us, please share them. And one way to share them is to send us an email at tjh@mindshifters-academy.org or to send an email to Jeannie at jeannie@whyagain.org, whyagain.org. And another way to let us know about your questions or comments or answers or testimonials is to call us directly at 563-999-3581. If you call that number on your phone and press 1, it will let me know that you have a question or a comment. I will turn on your microphone and announce you by your area code. So we're sitting here on a Friday. We had a replay yesterday of a best-of show because I was engaged in efforts for the On Your Mind podcast, which is a project I do with the Journey's Dream not-for-profit, and that not-for-profit is working to help rewrite the narrative on mental health, rewrite it to one in which optimal health and well-being is not only possible but expected. And one of the main targets of that podcast is to help people become aware that there are many more things available and continually in development to help people through their mental health challenges and life journeys than simply medications. And while medications have their role, they are certainly not the only way to address a mental health challenge or a life crisis. Even the serious or extreme situations, it's not the only thing that's available. And the medications do not, at this level, with everything that we know about how the mind and body work and their infinite constant connection, that the medications don't do anything to resolve a cause of any problems we have. It's simply a way to ameliorate symptoms or suppress symptoms until such time as an individual's efforts can rebuild the system, help the system regain energy, help the system get balance, help the system get nutrition, help the system clean up toxins. And it's your body, it's your mind, it's your energy system that does the healing. And so for a little over 2 years now, it was 2 years in February, I've been involved in donating my time to that project to create these interviews with people who work in the medical and psychological and school professions and self-help professions to develop, to use, to track results of a variety of techniques, tools, lifestyle changes, nutritional packages, etc., to help people heal at a fundamental level, at a cause level, when they have a mental or emotional challenge. And that's what I was engaged with yesterday during the usual time for this show. And if you have any interest in tapping into the 90-some, 95 or 98, however many interviews we've done in the past 2 years plus, you can find them on journeysdream.org, all one word, journeysdream.org. Or you can search on your regular podcast, you know, Apple, iTunes, etc., for the On Your Mind podcast, hosted by Journey's Dream. And that's quite a resource at these at this level. I've lost count of how many integrative psychiatrists I have interviewed, and the list keeps growing. There are wonderful resources there. One of them is Same Here Global, all one word, SameHereGlobal.org. And it's another organization that's remarkably similar to Journey's Dream. They're trying to help change the conversation about mental health and help people understand that there's some statistics out there that say, you know, one or two out of every five people is touched by mental health. And the Same Here Global people want you to know it's a 5 out of 5 deal. Everybody is impacted by mental health, either directly or nearly directly or indirectly. Everybody knows somebody. Everybody's got a family member. Everybody's had their own ups and downs. And again, that's a group that is dedicated to helping people learn about integrative medicine and functional medicine and holistic medicine approaches that will incorporate psychotropic drugs if they're needed, but will not make that the first line and will never make it be the only thing. That because as we talked about, the use of those medications was always only and ever designed to be temporary as a suppression of symptoms to allow the time and the energy for people to rebalance their lives and get the proper nutrition, the proper exercise, the proper breathing techniques, the proper sense of purpose in life and connection to community and love in their life and balance their physical needs with their mental and emotional needs and dismantle the thought processes that we have over here in the Western world that so often lead to self-loathing. And I just had somebody else bring this to my attention again yesterday. There's a book, I think the book title is The Buddha is Still Teaching. And this person was talking to me about that book and saying, you know, there's a story about how when the Dalai Lama first came over to the West and America, and he was talking to some reporters, and they were trying to pick the Dalai Lama's brain about what do they do in his country when people are full of self-hatred and self-loathing and low self-esteem. And as the story goes, I don't know how accurate it is, but as the story goes, the Dalai Lama had to ask the interpreter many questions for clarification because he didn't have either personally or throughout his culture, he'd never heard of someone having hatred for themselves. And that reminded me of the story that Dr. Michael Rice tells. A number of years ago, he was out in Oregon, and he and Jeannie got introduced to the person who was second in line to the Dalai Lama as a Buddhist monk. And they had the gift of being able to present the Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop to the monks. And the presentation went so well that the head monk said, I want you to come back and do this presentation again, and I'm going to interpret it into their language so they get it even more deeply. And then it went very well, and then after that they were talking. Michael was talking to the monk, and the monk said, you know, over in Tibet, we don't need these tools like the reality management worksheet and the specific practical tools to change the pattern in their minds, to change the negative emotional states, to resolve the traumas, etc. But he said, over here, we need it. Because over here, this cultural belief system, this phenomenon, this pattern of living, this very high priority on the accumulation of stuff, and the pattern of comparison and competition that is culture-wide, it's woven into the culture, means they need something that they wouldn't need if they were living in their native country. Because over there, there's an entirely different atmosphere of allowance, surrender, acceptance, whatever you want. It's not, and this is not to idealize the culture in Tibet. It's just to say that that specific problem isn't there. So it comes from the Dalai Lama's experience, and it comes from Michael Rice's experience with the second in line of the Dalai Lama. And that's why, you know, I have such gratitude for having come across these tools, because they work so effectively. And if you can bypass the conscious logical mind with whatever system you're using and ask to be shown and do it repeatedly, I have had the experience that that makes my life better by leaps and bounds. And that's what we're trying to pull out of it in more and more detail and deeper levels from the Way of Mastery as a teaching device that's loaded with individual tools. And I think, not yesterday because it was a rewind, a replay show, but on Wednesday, I was highlighting that in Lesson 10, to my eye and ear, there's a very specific exercise that is not labeled as such. And so when I listened back to the show from Wednesday, I was called to listen back to it even again, a second replay. And I thought, well, you know, if I'm listening to it two or three times, it might need to be placed in the highlight list. So it's now there on the MindShiftersAcademy.org website on the page labeled Highlights of Way of Mastery with Commentary. But if there aren't any hands up right now, that's where I would begin. I would begin with reviewing where we left off on Wednesday, finding this, you know, the exercise that they're very clear about is, why don't you try to spend 5 minutes every day sitting in a chair just with yourself? 5 minutes, and just asking yourself, how will you experience these 5 minutes? How will you experience the sensations of the breath moving through your body? How will you experience the sensations of tension or relaxation in the body? Will you experience them lovingly and gently, or will you experience them with tension and judgment? And that's a specific exercise, 5 minutes a day. And then once you start doing that, you might want to choose to spend that 5 minutes creating the experience of being a Christ, wondering what it would be like to be so tuned into the creative power of your mind energy that you understand that you can create moment to moment perfectly, consciously, clearly, just as your Creator is creating moment to moment. And then on Wednesday, as we were reviewing Lesson 10 on page 123 in the Way of Mastery, it says, so, you know, you share the same infinite field of mind that transcends all dimensions of manifestation, all levels of existence. And you can tap into that because it's already occurred. That you need only understand that others have gone before you and done that, and acknowledge that the world doesn't hold the value for it, you, that it used to. Accept your complete freedom to choose what to value. And in that moment, you become able to transcend all of the effects of what you've valued in the past, even if those things were negative or judgmental or bitter or resentful or hurtful or grief-filled, etc. So then the exercise, which isn't quite labeled as such, but the exercise is that you might want to, moment to moment in your life, choose to say to yourself, I'm here, I'm free. Heaven is here now. The past has passed away, and I'm free to choose anew. So this day, in this moment, I commit to teaching only love. And the way I'm going to do that is I'm going to choose to share only, I'm going to only value and pour my mind energy and then share only loving thoughts. I'm going to make the commitment that this one day, in this moment, I will look lovingly upon every person that comes into my experience, And first, before letting my thoughts race off, before saying anything or doing anything toward them, I'm going to reconnect with my true nature. I'm going to tap into that elemental force specific for humans that's implanted in each of us by our Creator, that's there to break off the effects of our errors in thought and guide us to truth and happiness if we just ask it to. I'm going to do that before I let my thoughts race on, or before I let myself speak in a certain way, or before I act toward the person in front of me. And having done that, having reconnected consciously to my awareness of my infinite connection to my source, I will then look out through eyes that have been transformed by the simple acknowledgement of the truth that all minds are joined. And I will see a brother or sister in front of me. There will be no strangers I encounter in that moment. I will see one who walks as I walk, one who feels as I feel, one who longs as I long, one who is humbled as I am humbled, and one who prays for peace as I have prayed for peace. And in that next moment, with that next breath, connecting consciously to our true nature, I will extend that peace that we both are, that we both possess, I will extend it lovingly to them. And as I give it, I receive it. So that's the exercise that we were talking about and ending with on Wednesday. And the text on 123 near the end of the page has the next heading is titled, Acknowledge the Truth That Sets You Free. And then the text reads, the way is simple and so easy that the mind of the world overlooks it. The mind of the world says, this is too simple, it can't be this. There has to be more complicated stuff going on here. But that which is simple seems impossible only to the mind that insists on complexity. And a mind that insists on conflict simply cannot accept that there is another way. But if you step out of that complexity, if you understand that the intellect was meant to be a very useful, simple servant and a tool for you and not your essence, not your guide on this planet, in this existence, then you can step aside, step out of the insistence on complexity, and then you will find that what waits for you is simply this. In the end of all your struggles, in the end of all your doubts, and in the end of all the moments of your unconscious conforming to the mind of the world, there remains the simple choice to be made. This is just a choice, a simple choice in the privacy of your own mind, at the heart of your awareness that rests right next to the heart of the mind of the Creator. It's a choice to acknowledge the truth that has already set you free. Another way to say it, and they've said it many times throughout this book, another way to say it follows, quote, I and my Creator are one. It has been that way forever. It was accomplished in the being of Yeshua ben Joseph, who revealed to me the truth of myself because he loved me. And if he can do it, I can do it. Even in this moment, I accept my destiny to walk this earth awake and at peace, in mastery and not in fear. And I begin my ministry now. Close quotes. The text goes on and asks, for who can you seek that can heal you? Who can you discover that can bring some form of magic to you that can overcome your resistance to the truth? Well, the answer, of course, is No one, because they've said over and over again from the beginning of this lesson, in lesson one, you choose. You don't experience anything you haven't chosen. You are free to choose. You remain infinitely free. You remain as you were created to be. It's all of these various ways to say you can choose to stay in pain or fear or sadness. You can choose to value those experiences and interpretations of your experience of life. You can choose to value those over the bliss state or the compassion state or the gratitude state. The text goes on and says, look high and low across your world. You will not find anyone who can overcome your resistance to the truth. If you seek forever, you will remain a seeker forever. For the truth is set within your heart, and all power under heaven and earth is given unto you. So if you want to hold on to your excuses, you want to hold on to your limitations, argue for your limitations, and they're yours. You want to hold on to your resistance and your anger? No one can take it from you. You want to think, hey, wait, it can't be that all events are neutral, because the next thing my mind tells me is, well, if all events are neutral, then it doesn't matter what I do, and I can go and I can rob and steal and rape and pillage, and it doesn't have any consequence. If you want to hold on to that belief, you can, and you will create the experience in your life of being separate from the world, and of being justified in your negativity, and no one can take that from you. You have that power, and you have the power in any moment to choose again and to turn 180 degrees or repent, to take a different filter and put that on your view of things. It is that power of choice and the power of mind energy that is a force of creation that you have in every moment. And it is that that changes the momentum of the mind and heals every wounded perception. The text goes on and says, in the end of all seeking, you must look into the mirror and decide to be the one who heals yourself. Or another way to say that is, you need to be able to look in the mirror and recognize you are already whole and complete. You remain as you were created to be. The essence of you remains as it was created. Nothing has ever chipped, dented, rusted, faded, or broken it in any way. There's no healing that is needed except for releasing the dream of pain and fear and sickness. The text goes on and says, you are the one who decides. From infinite freedom, you decide how to use the power of your mind in each moment. And we've talked about it in the past. There's a book that was written by Pierre Pratervan in conjunction with Roger McGowan, and it is titled Messages or Lessons of Life from Death Row. And there's real life experiences, real life demonstrations of what they're talking about here in lesson 10. You choose moment to moment how to use the power of your mind energy, and that's what creates your experience of life. And the text says, therefore, only one question that a seeker of truth really needs to ask herself is this: would I know peace or conflict? Would I be happy or would I insist on being right? Would I choose to see the complete neutrality of all the events in this world as wisps of a dream that are being birthed and passing away? Would I choose to see myself as whole and complete? Because as I look upon the world, that's how I look upon myself. As I judge the world, I have judged myself. As I judge myself, I judge the world. So area code 610, is this Susan?
Hi. Dr. Tim. I'm hoping to get a question in here. Going back to what you said about all minds are connected, you've said that before, and I'm thinking about how if we are all connected, you might have just answered it in the very last thing you read, but I still want to ask it. all minds are connected, which means that we have the capacity to feel or discern or something how others are, including joyful, light-filled creatures and creatures who are suffering and are having dark thoughts, pain, so forth. And I understand about Paul Pierre Pradovan saying, you choose to bless. I'm in a situation down here where my grandson is isolating a lot. He has a lot of anxiety, and I am resonating a lot of anxiety, and I know there's a whole path connected with that. So I'm thinking, yes, our minds are very much connected, but it's not a healthy connection. I don't feel strong enough, and maybe that's just a choice I've made. I don't feel strong enough to remain centered, peaceful, hopeful, joyful even, while I'm witnessing this much of a struggle. So if minds are connected, that seems like bad news in a way, because if I can disconnect, but you're not talking about disconnecting when you're choosing.
No, listen, that's only bad news if you're cherry-picking the message.
Okay. Say more.
Right? So what do you... It's like I was talking about on Wednesday show from Tuesday night support group. We had somebody in there, and it led to a whole discussion about, well, wait a minute. You know, this says all events are neutral, and so... You know, if I go and say everything is neutral, nothing matters, and I'm free to go off and rob and pillage and steal and
right.
And that's part of why Wednesday's show got moved over to the highlights page, because I think there's a pretty good piece in there about how you can only build that logical series of connected statements and make it seem quite reasonable if you base it on a false premise. Right? You ignore the fact that your true nature is the flow of creation and this loving energy, and so when you're in direct connection with that, you can't do harm to yourself or somebody else. So anybody who wants to build that argument is kind of cherry-picking and taking a false premise and then building this logical structure on top of it. So when you say all minds are joined, and that's really bad news because some people are in pain, you're missing the part that's in here that says you have this ultimate power, this infinite freedom, the power of creation, the same power that your creator used to create you, you're using to choose whether to be in pain or fear or sadness. You're choosing whether you'll be right or happy. You're choosing whether or not to view events as neutral and ask to be shown the blessing in each one. You have the infinite capacity to choose the focus of your conscious awareness in each moment. And the fact that it's not well practiced, the fact that you've been conditioned to believe otherwise, doesn't change the truth. Every one of us, at least on the Western civilizations, has been conditioned to believe that either we're a sinner, or we're damaged or broken, or that we're not good enough, or that, you know, what there's an endless list of things that people use to generate self-loathing. And for those of us who have been alive for several decades, that conditioning is several decades old, day in and day out. Through the internet, through the television shows, through the radio shows, through the books and magazines, You aren't good enough the way you are. You need to look this way. You need to own that stuff. You need to please the people around you. All of that conditioning has a tremendous momentum behind it. And so it might take some work to identify those patterns, those trauma energies, those beliefs that have been practiced for decades and dismantle them. And yet the bushel baskets of decades of garbage in don't chip, dent, rust, fade, or break in any way your true essence and your infinite capacity to choose the focus of the conscious, your conscious awareness in each moment, and that is what creates your experience of life. You are a very powerful creator. And when you reach the conclusion that, oh boy, all minds are joined, and those people over there, they're in pain, that means I have to feel their pain and I don't have any choice. That's bad news. You're cherry picking and building on a false premise. Does that make sense?
It makes sense.
It seems to be making sense to the bird behind you.
Yeah, Florida, there are lots of birds. I hear it. I'm hoping to put it into effect.
Well, just breathe and soften into it. We don't know that any of this is true. This is just a book. This is just a teaching. This is what I was finding myself saying on Wednesday. Soften. Notice the part of you that wants to argue against it. Notice the logical presentations that your mind can give you. Label it as just an intellectual processing. Set it over on the side and ask to be shown something else. Let this stuff in so that then you can actually step into a practice of using these exercises to see if it makes a difference in your life.
You know, you mentioned the 5 minutes of sitting. I have yet to do that, and it isn't for lack of remembering it, but I'm afraid to. I won't be able to do it.
Let's state that more accurately. Okay? You are not afraid.
No.
You are an entity of existence and consciousness, and you have an intellect that's been shoved full of trivialities, to use the phrase out of the way of mastery, and part of that has been programmed to generate thoughts that lead to fear. And then you feel this energy of fear. And so a more accurate way to say that is, when I think about sitting down to do the 5 minutes exercise, I generate a lot of fear with my intellectual processing, with that mechanical level of mind, as Guy Finley calls it. And it's there, and I experience it. It's a real thing. I have these energies that I feel. They're absolutely a part of my experience. And so if you combine the Guy Finley work and the Diedrich Wolzak work and the Byron Katie work, all of which understand, listen, you only suffer when you believe your negative thoughts. And you combine that with Dr. Michael Rice's work and you say, oh, look, I have these thoughts that something bad might happen if I sit down and do this exercise. And when I pour enough of my mind energy into those thoughts, I generate the energy of fear. Well, I've got several different tools I could use. I could use the Byron Katie worksheet. I could use the Michael Rice worksheet. I could use the Diedrich Wolzak worksheet. And I could dismantle the energies and the emotions and perhaps even the traumas that keep fueling this thought pattern or having me valuing that thought pattern over the thought pattern of, wow, here's a fun little exercise. Let me see what this might do. And I can dismantle the energies by actually applying the worksheet. I will never dismantle the energies by staying in my intellectual mind and analyzing it. I will never dismantle that fear or those thought patterns by analyzing them. That is what David Bohm calls sustained incoherence. Dr. Tim, can you help me figure out why I generate fear? No. I mean, it's a simple thing. I think about sitting down for 5 minutes and doing that exercise, and I generate fear. You're a psychologist. You've got 48 years of experience doing therapy. Can't you help me figure this out? Answer very simply, no. I couldn't figure it out for myself if I had that pattern going, and I can't help anybody else figure it out. I can help them pick up a tool and ask to be shown something that their conscious logical mind simply can't get access to. I can help them do what Rainier Maria Rilke would say and learn to live in the question. Because then one day I might live along into an answer. I might live in the state of questioning and openness long enough that my mind, my consciousness expands so that when the answer comes, I can actually comprehend it. But the intellect is not going to hold an answer for you. And if you keep turning to your intellect to try and figure it out without picking up the tools, you will, what this way of mastery was just saying is, you will choose to remain a seeker forever and never find. Because that's turning to your intellect as your master, as your God, as your leader, as the answer. And it can't answer what it can't comprehend. And this is a wonderful example. You can't even begin to imagine how it would be a good thing to sit for 5 minutes and just experience yourself as an infinite creator and perhaps even as a Christ. Because instantly your mind goes to negative outcomes, negative ripple effects.
Yeah, there's something funny going on here because I have been doing, I made a pact with Michael that I do 5 worksheets a day. Most days I do at least 5, and yesterday there was about 8. What I'm finding,
how many of them,
is that...
Wait. How many of them were on the fear that you generate when you think about doing 5 minutes sitting in a chair with Christ?
Not any. But it's all around the
go.
Other issues that pop up, and I'm afraid it's my mind again. I'm thinking I'm going to arrive there again.
Sure.
Yeah, okay. Point taken. All right, I'll do it. But I had a question about doing that many worksheets.
Okay.
I feel extremely stirred up. And I had a wonderful outcome with a neighbor who, anyway, it was a very good outcome in a very dicey situation where I did a worksheet on her and asked to be shown and decided to be just gentle and compliant and do what she wanted because I could, even though it meant giving up, having a whole backyard as a grow zone, a pollinating center for butterflies and bees, and she's objecting, and she sent me an ordinance from the city that says it's not allowed. Well, I had called the city, and the city said it's fine as long as you're not on abutting a roadway or an alleyway, or if a neighbor complains. Well, this is the neighbor who complains, so I have to knuckle under her to her, and I resented her and did a worksheet on that, and finally was able to sincerely write her a letter and saying, you know, I know we talked about this last year. I was hoping that the bushes between our houses, the overgrowth of them, would prevent you from looking from your balcony onto our backyard. And obviously it's still an issue. So when I get home, I'll have it all. We'll mow it down. And she wrote right back and she said, you know, I appreciate this. And I don't like to be a snotty neighbor or whatever, and you've been a good neighbor to us, which I don't think they have felt that way. But she said, I've had some experience with overgrowth of things and mosquitoes, and we had to get rid of a little pond we had put in our backyard and all this and that and the other, ticks. And she's got a lot of concerns. So she just thanked me, and I thought, this is so much better of an outcome than me going home and just hating her guts for the rest of the time that we live there. But that's what I wanted to do in my ego. I wanted to punish. I wanted to be right. I wanted to make her suffer and all the awful stuff that I do. And this just cut it all, this one worksheet, and there was a good resolution. So that was good, but that was like an oasis of doing many worksheets, coming back to scenes from childhood that I had not remembered, but are the same ilk of the other ones I've talked about. I guess what I'm saying is there's so much being stirred up, and maybe that's just the disturbance there of it's a big deal doing five worksheets a day.
Yeah, it is. It's a major commitment. And remember the analogy of the chocolate syrup at the bottom of the glass of cold milk?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Well, you're in the process, and when you do five worksheets a day, you're in the process of stirring up the chocolate. And if you don't understand how this system works, you can blame the spoon, or you can blame your neighbor.
Right. Yeah.
But the fact is, you walked into this scene with that chocolate syrup at the bottom of your cup.
Yes. And my mother-in-law would say, why stir it up? Things are going all right as they are. That was her argument against ever going into therapy.
Right. It's exactly right. That we have an entire culture that was built on that. Pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. Don't tell the family problems outside the family. Nobody needs therapy. They just need to not be lazy. The entire culture built on that, right?
Yeah.
What was the toxic masculinity motto? I don't need anybody. To heck with that old song, "No Man Is an Island." I'm going to tough it out. I'm going to take on that army all by myself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm never going to ask for help. I'm going to be strong enough to provide for my family all by myself. And I'm never going to let my emotions show because that's weakness. We have an entire culture built on that. Doesn't mean it's right.
Yeah.
And you can just observe for yourself.
Helpful.
You can just observe for yourself what the effects of, what the consequences of making those kinds of choices is. It's the culture we live in. It's the road rage. It's the constant use of all kinds of substances and behaviors to numb out from the pain that we're in or to avoid seeing and acting from our highest guidance, which is Michael's, you know, the compulsive use of any of those things is Michael's definition for addiction.
Yeah.
We have a culture that is rife with all of that.
Right. Yeah. And I'm sitting here watching a grandson right in the middle of that and just holding a space of love for him and not able to do much of anything except be here, which feels inadequate.
Listen. Okay, but listen. The only reason that feels so inadequate is because of the way you've labeled it, and you're labeling it that way because it's what your culture teaches.
Okay.
Right? Somebody says, oh, she's just a mother. Oh, he's just a stay-at-home dad. Look what we've done when we label it that way. Oh, I can't do much of anything except hold a space of love for him and send him blessings. As though that is no big deal. As though that's not the most powerful thing you can do. If that's not the most, as if that's not the most powerful and effective use of your mind energy, which is an always on creative force. Notice what your mind is doing. Notice how the Western culture and the do, fix, go has intruded into what you're learning at different levels and experiencing for yourself at different levels is a far more effective use of your energy. You just finished talking about how one powerful worksheet, as you're in the middle of doing five worksheets a day for the rest of your life kind of thing, one powerful worksheet and then a loving, respectful note to your neighbor resulted in a hugely different, highly preferable response than what you were planning to do going home and engaging in rage. Right? You just finished talking about how your real life experience is. These tools work. Choosing love produces a different result. dramatically different result. And then just moments later in another sentence you say, I'm not able to do much of anything of value except sit here and send love to my grandson, as though that's not a powerful tool to use moment to moment in your life. Please see that. Please see the conditioning. Please see the influence of the Western mind and how you've got to do. You've got to be a human doing and not a human being.
That really helps, Dr. Tim. Thanks a lot.
Well, that's what's got you locked into thinking all of these negative things and saying, oh, my gosh, woe is me. If all minds are connected and I've got a grandson who's in emotional pain, I'm a victim and I'm stuck. That's cherry picking. Go back and read this again more slowly. It tells you repeatedly you have the infinite capacity to choose the focus of your conscious awareness, and it's that choice of the focus of your conscious awareness in each moment that actually creates your experience of life. You have the infinite choice moment to moment. It is the power of creation and nothing less that is activated when you value a set of thoughts over another one. And please hear the Western do-do-do influence that comes up and says, and so here I am stuck, and I can't really do anything much of any value except sit back and send loving thoughts and blessings to my grandson, as though that is not a powerful creative force. You're right on it. It is right there in front of your nose. It's in each breath that you're living. And when you let the intellect come in and the conditioned thoughts about how I'm supposed to be doing something or I'm supposed to be making this gross level, dynamic, instant physical change in circumstances because that's how I've been programmed in the Western mind. And when that's not happening, you shift your focus away from the powerful example that you just gave in a testimonial on the radio show, a powerful example in your life of how direct communication, respectful communication, loving communication results in an entirely different experience of life and a different relationship energy between you and your neighbor.
Yeah, I know. I felt good about that. Oh, thanks, Dr. Tim.
You are entirely welcome and far more deserving than you yet realize. And thank you for the comments and the demonstration and the testimonial and for doing your work because, as we talk about fairly frequently on this show, the reason we do this show is our intention is to be of service. And we understand that the more people that use these tools, if they get the same kind of benefits that we've had, the whole world benefits because it's an energy system and all minds are joined, as you brought up earlier. So is there more we can do to support you today, or is that enough for now?
That's enough for now, and thank you. It really set me right. Thanks. Big thanks.
You're very, very welcome. And I'll mute you, and I'll say hello to area code 541. You're in the air.
Yes, Celinda. How are you today?
Welcome. I think I'm all right. I think I'm doing pretty well.
Perfect. I kind of say perfect and tongue-in-cheek anymore because being a perfectionist, having been trained and having bought the training of being a perfectionist and having to eat the whole enchilada in one fell bite and having to fix the world because the world was my responsibility, I ended up being compulsive, obsessive. And one of the things I also noticed is that my path is a gentle path because any time I feel like I need to perform, I end up creating a great deal of stress in myself. So what I have been exploring these past 40 years is finding all of that rainbow color that's between either or, of between either being right or being wrong, or doing it somebody else's way and giving up what is right intuitively for me. And I have come to an experience within of that co-creation, co-coordination, co-operation, community. And I have been putting my focus on that and saying, how can we make this work for both of us? This is not to say Susan's way was not correct and that what came out of her worksheet is absolutely right for her. I'm just sharing another way that I have found for myself that works for me of being gentle with myself. Otherwise, I keep beating myself up. And I keep being reminded, we're all three of us old enough to remember the old electric coffee pots that percolated probably 15 or 20 minutes before we even got a cup of coffee. The younger generation now has no concept of that because everything is instant almost. And my realization that for my way, this is only saying for my way, it goes to my head first, and then it just kind of percolates down to the heart, which I kind of think of as a basket with the coffee in it. And then eventually it ends up in the water below as coffee. And so I have approached a more middle ground place. And that's why I like the way of mastery so much, a very allowing, a very accepting. And usually that works unless I forget. So for me to do 5 worksheets a day is not going to work. And intuitively, it's just not going to work because of my stress responses. So I have to go around the back door. And how I go around the back door is I do many tools, not just one set of tools. And so I pick up the worksheet when that's what I'm called to pick up. I'll pick up the way of mastery when that's what I'm called to pick up. And I have been practicing the 5 minutes a day on something every day, almost every day. I'm practicing to get it into a habit pattern. And if I end up obsessing or being compulsive during that 5 minutes, I just, oh, wow, this is what's happening today. And so I just wanted to include that thought for Susan, not that I want her to do it my way, because I don't. She's unique. I'm unique. We have to find our own way with the guidance of Spirit, who honors our uniqueness, and just kind of try to find the middle colors that works for everyone. And so I don't know the situation with her situation at all. I know that I bring beneficials into my garden with just some plants and flowers here and there. I don't do a wild meadow effect. I have a lot of order that I feel comfortable with, but I do try to find middle ground in everything I do. And so I wanted to share that. And also the thought, that story about the gardener all of a sudden hit me between the eyeballs. Basically what that gardener story was doing, the farmer story, was exactly the way that indigenous farmers do their farming and gardeners do their gardening. So I thought I'd share that with you.
All right. Well, I appreciate your comments. And we've taken us all the way to the end of our first hour, so thank you for the call. Thank you, Susan. I will mute you so you can listen in, and I will remind us all that we come from love. We're made of this stuff we call love. We actually are love, and everything else is false. Welcome, Jeannie Rice.
Thank you, Dr. Tim. Appreciate it. Good conversation.
Thank you. Have a lovely show.
Thanks. So welcome, everybody, to the second hour of Mind Shifters Radio. And today is Friday, May the 13th, 2022. Our call-in number is 563-999-3581. And press 1, and that puts you in the queue to talk to us. We'd love to hear your comments and questions because that makes this your show. And we had a book study, the Global Book Club met last night, and we haven't gotten the recording on that yet, but when we do get it, we will put that on the website. And tomorrow is our Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing. So if you're interested in participating in that, please get a hold of Michael or I. You can drop me a line at Jeannie, J-E-A-N-I-E, at whyagain.org, or you can call us and let us know you're interested in getting signed up on that. We'll give you a mind shifter to do. And if you've not been part of the membership program, we have a couple of videos that we send to you and we'd like for you to look at prior to breathing. And then the breath session starts at 11 o'clock in the morning. And it usually goes about 3 hours. And then we follow up with a Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern time. And I have questions, answers, comments, and are just there to support those who participated in the Saturday breathing. We do that every month. You can find information on that if you go to our website, either under schedule or under the events, and it's Mindshifter Still Point online monthly membership. We do it by Zoom, so we also send you a photo of where we would like for you to have your camera set up when you're laying down to breathe so that we can see your face and your chest and your stomach so we can support you in the process while you're breathing. But that information is on the website under Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing, like I said, either under schedules or under events, either one. And if you're not familiar with the book club, that also is under schedules or events. And it's Global Online Book, the lady in London, England. And she's been running the book club for the last 4 years. And it's not just like any other book club. They meet, I believe, 4 or 6 times a week, putting into practice the teaching of the books that they're studying. And they came across the Why Is This Happening to Me Again and decided they would do that. And the lady who runs the club is Yinka, and she said that it was just amazing the transformation that she saw in doing the work. And so she had contacted Michael. He's actually participated three times in March, and once in April, and this is the first time in May, and he will be doing it again the fourth Thursday of the month. And we'll continue doing that until they're complete. And each meeting is, like I said, it's like a workshop, and helping people process and answer their questions and learn forgiveness. So it's different from most book studies. So participate in that. Join us. And Michael has just come in, and so he'll be with us here in just a moment. So we'll give him time to get signed in. The Apple had a few more changes. There were a couple of things that I guess if you're familiar with the iPhone, you know how to swipe and go to the previous page. But I only use the iPhone when I'm checking the app and getting it set up. So I wasn't familiar with that, and I asked him if he could have a back button, even if it were in the top margin or something, just to get back to the app when, you know, if you clicked on a commitment, it actually takes you to our website to look at that at the particular commitment. There's 5 of them out there. And, or if you ask a question. And it, for me, it didn't seem to immediately go back to the app and was a little bit challenging for me. So it's maybe just me not being familiar with the iPhone. So he's made that change. So it's been resubmitted. So that'll come back through probably in another day or two. And so be ready to do another update on the iPhone. And the Android is already done. And so there are a lot of new features. So go out and look at, you know, put it to use. And if you come up with something that is a challenge, then please drop me a line and let me know, and we'll see what we can do to get it corrected. Also, if you go to the website, you have the ability to, I'm trying to click at the same time I'm talking. In addition to the app, you can do the worksheets online. Now, it will redirect you to Healing the Whole Woman website. And the only reason I did that is because our Why Again website is so huge. And if there's something that happens to doing the online worksheets and it messed up the whole website, then it's a whole lot easier to fix it on my website because it's smaller. So anyway, welcome, Michael.
Thank you, dear heart. Hey, a busy foray out into the world, and so delighted to be here, delighted to have this opportunity to move forward with this conversation. Looking forward to Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing tomorrow. We just had another young lady from Canada sign up for it, so, and it looks like she's going to be with us for the year, so that's cool. That community's growing, and really sweet, powerful support. And there's a Course in Miracles piece that I came across from the workbook that is so profound, powerful, and kind of brings forward the core of the whole forgiveness process, the core of how denial, dissociation, and rejection works from a different point of view than we normally look at it. And it's from Lesson 265, creation's gentleness is all I see. Of course, we look out in today's world and it doesn't look like it for most. Can, of course, this, an intermediary stage of that gentleness is all I see is to be able to remain in that connected space of love while observing the chaos. So you'll remember from the lesson, What is the World? The Course speaks, the world is false perception. And it has not left its source. In other words, it's inside of our minds. And that it will remain no longer than the thought that gave it birth is cherished, which means that there is a conversion system in the mind that takes thoughts and turns them into pictures of whatever that thought is about. And this lesson is just a powerful look at that. So it says, I have indeed misunderstood the world because I laid my errors on it and saw them looking back at me. Remember how many times we said perception is a construct of the mind, and the construct of the mind always tells more about the content of the mind than the world one thinks one is looking at. If you think when your mind constructs its world that you're looking at the actuality as created, you're way off base. And the constructs of your mind will tell you about the content of your mind. Now, is there disturbance in that content? Then you have work to do. If there's not disturbance, and it's what most people would consider disturbing content, what that says is, yep, been there, done that, got those brain cells from experience, but I've worked through the trauma involved in it, so I can be at peace, I can stay connected while I look at that. And so I laid my errors on the world and saw them looking back at me. How fierce they seemed. And how deceived I was to think that what I feared was in the world instead of in my mind alone. So if you're feeling threatened, it's because there are brain cells containing threat within your mind. When you recognize that and you choose to give that information up, and how do you give that information up? It's called forgiveness. Remembering that forgiveness is removal, not about letting somebody else off the hook, but removal of content that never belonged. So I'm always looking at myself, looking back at me, would be a simple way to sum up this particular portion of that lesson. So I put something into it, and then I saw it staring back to me as though, back at me, pardon me, as though it was out there, when the truth is, here it is, it's in here, and it belongs to me. And that's some of the best news you could ever hear, because whatever your disease, whatever your disorder, whatever your pain, whatever your trauma is simply being reflected there, and once you can own it, you can change it. Once you can own it, now as long as you believe it's in the world, well, you got no power over it, that's just it, and you're a victim of it. And as this lesson says, it seems very fierce. Once I can own it, then I can begin to heal its fierceness. I can begin to process through the vicious, pained energy that holds those brain cells in captivity, and I can remove the energetic patterns that seem so fierce. So the key tool for doing that is the tool of forgiveness. How do I remove that which is looking back at me? Well, I recognize that the reason I have this fierceness is somebody has violated a goal that I hold for them, and that goal has caused my mind to use this fierce energy inside of me and converted it into a picture, a world that I think I'm seeing through my eyes and seeing out there. The truth is, you can't see out through your eyes. The eye is a one-way valve. Yes, light information comes in, but you don't see anything out there. The information comes in and resonates whatever's inside of you, and your brain generates that world that you see. That's why that lesson from the Course says, I've given this all the meaning that it has for me. It's so powerful to recognize that I'm the one who's projecting meaning here, and the meaning tells me about me. So can I get to a space of holding that meaning? Can I get to a space of being at total peace? Can I get to a space where I can bring forward the true active state of my real being, love, in the presence of that particular fierce energy? When you can do that, you'll know you're making huge progress. Or even if you can't actually do it, but you can stop for a minute and remember that it's possible. You can just, you know, even in the middle of the muddle, the middle of the crazy stuff going on, in coming from your own mind, the fierceness as this lesson speaks of, if you can simply stop for a second and remember that, oh yeah, okay, this is mine. It seems so real. It seems so, you know, undefeatable. There's nothing I can do about it. But I could do one worksheet that will scrape off, you know, some of the fierce energy that's being held in my mind about this. If I can take a breath and just remember that that's possible, even if I go back to my crazy state, back to buying into the victim of this fierceness, if I can just remember for a minute, oh yeah, okay, I'm not done with this one yet, there's work to do, all right, I'm willing to do my work, and you know, this might be one of my 77 times 70 worksheets. So remember the cycle in the mind. When I think or speak, this is denial, as though something outside of me is the cause of something moving inside of me. Then I have to dissociate with the true cause of what's moving inside of me. And when I dissociate from it, I'll take that very content and I'll use it to build my brain's image of whoever it is that I think I'm looking at. And so I'll use that content, and they'll show up in my mind with my problem attached, and I will swear that it must be their problem. Once again from this lesson, and how deceived I was to think that what I feared was in the world instead of in my mind alone. Recognizing that perception is a construct of the mind and can be collapsed with forgiveness is the key to healing. And when you recognize that these energetic patterns that hold such things as fierceness are stored somewhere within your structure, wherever they are stored within your structure, there's going to be what appears to be a physical disease process happening. There is no physical disease. No such thing exists. It's all a fraud. But there appears to be. No, oh, Michael, how can you say there's no such thing as physical disease? I've seen them. I've seen people with sores and broken bones. It's like, okay, well, that's an interesting perspective. But remember what you saw, you generated with your mind. Through the rate of vibration at which your eye received information, you would have seen what was back of what appears to be. You'd see what was back of and superior to that state of disorganized energy that we call a diseased body. But let's remind ourselves, let's listen to Einstein. Here's what he says. On such things as matter, we have been all wrong. What we have heretofore called matter is energy. Energy whose vibrations have been so lowered as to be perceptible to the senses, there is no matter. If there is no matter, there can't be a physical disease. The eye generates an appearance of a disease. You know, the example that I use oftentimes is, let's imagine we bring a primitive from the jungles somewhere in the world who's never seen anything more complex than a dugout canoe. And we bring him to the tarmac at the airport where our prop plane is already, its engine is already running. And he walks up to the plane and we point out the propeller and we ask him to tell us what it is. Now, does he say, oh, that's three pivot points spinning around a central point? No. He says, oh, that's a shiny silver disc. Now, because his mind cannot keep up with the rate of spin of that propeller, I mean, when the prop's sitting still, we can easily tell it's three arms organized around a pivot point. But when it's spinning, and someone who doesn't have the brain cells for, oh, that's three arms organized around a pivot point, because his perceptual apparatus can't keep up with the rate of spin, his mind generates a shiny silver disc out of it, and he sees it. The problem happens when he tries to take action based upon the illusion created in his mind. And this is what happens in our world and in our lives. We try to take action based upon a construct that is false. So let's imagine that our friend from the jungle says, well, I want to feel what the friction of that silver disc feels like on my fingertips. We know he's going to have a really serious problem. Because he thinks something is there that isn't. In exactly the same way, if our perceptual apparatus, in this case our senses, could keep up with the actual energy that's moving, we'd see this whirring mass of electrons, protons, neutrons, and light, not a body. And if we could distinguish qualities of energy, we'd recognize that where there appears to be a physical disease, there is an energy that is off the mark. Remember, this lesson uses the word error or sin. And remember that the word sin is an archery term. When you fire at the bullseye and you miss the bullseye, the scorekeeper yells sin. You're off the mark. So if there's an energy that's put into this energy system that we call a body-mind unit that doesn't belong in it, wherever it's stored, it's going to create distortion. And we call that disease. And it looks physical because our eye generates this picture based on what we've been trained is physical. But if we could see on a deeper level, we'd know, oh, there's integrative energy that keeps this system operating and functional, and there's disintegrative energy. We don't have a body here. There's no such thing as a body. There's no such thing as a material world. We have an energy system. And if there is a disintegrative quality of energy somewhere in the system, that disintegrative quality is going to distort the appearance my mind creates out of it, and I'm going to say, ah, that's a physical disease. But once I start to see through the eyes of energy, then I realize that this distortion that looks like physical disease is simply an energy that doesn't belong in the system and has created that distortion. So I no longer get trapped in the world of shiny silver discs. I realize, oh, no, I'm not putting my finger on that shiny silver disc. That's not what it appears to be. Remember 2,000 years ago, Yeshua says, don't judge by appearances. If you do, you're in big trouble. So where there is physiological distortion, where there is pain, that's an early stage of disease that's warning us that we are holding a disintegrative energy in the tissue where that dis-ease energy is showing up. When we realize that, then the application of forgiveness becomes that of removal of what never belonged in the system. What is it that we see when we see something that quote-unquote causes us pain? We're seeing our own thoughts generated or turning into a world that is an hallucination. Just like the shiny silver disc is an hallucination, it's an appearance. Don't judge by appearances. And so applying forgiveness allows the removal of what doesn't belong in this structure, and all of a sudden something that all the doctors said, well, this could never be cured, is cured. How did that happen? Well, when they say this could never be cured, what they mean is we don't know how to handle this energetic pattern at this point, and so we've never been able to change the appearance of it, the structural result of this disintegrative energy. But if someone comes along that knows how to handle that energy and remove it, then the tissue structure, what appears to be a tissue structure, can go back to its normal state. So that's kind of a bird's eye view of where we want to head in understanding things on a deeper level than the level of appearances. And I hope that opens the space for some conversation. And if you're out there in listener land, if you're on one of those stations where we can't see you, our call-in number is 563-999-3581, 563-999-3581. If you call that number, you'll be listening to the show directly. And if you have a question, push 1, raise his hand in the control panel, and we'll have a conversation. So how can we support you? What's on your mind? Ms. Jeannie, do we have anybody in the phone queue with a hand up or anything happening in the chat room?
It is all quiet. We've got several people on the switchboard, but no hands up. And I apologize, I missed part of your introduction there. I got a call from the Emeticists, the group of people that work with
Dad. Dad.
And, yeah, and it looks like they're going to reassess him and put him back in to the system. So that's
sweet.
Awesome. Yeah.
Good. Well, we'll get another level of support. He certainly seems to be starting to move. You know, it's a slow process. I'm thinking that, you know, with the fact that he's getting food to his brain now that his brain can use and his cognition is getting better and better, that that's going to improve the ability for his mind to interact with his body and will hold the space that he can rock and roll it.
Yeah, he said the gentleman that called said that Dad was actually, you know, talking and asking questions and things, and he asked the CNAs, you know, what has changed, and they said that he's eating better, and so what you just said, you know, getting food to his brain, and so anyway, but we got to take the transverse pole that we have downstairs over there this afternoon.
The white pole.
Uh-huh.
The white post you're talking about?
Yeah.
Oh, good. They want that?
Yeah.
Awesome. I think that
well,
should have been there from
the
day one, so that's great.
He said he's hoping that they won't balk on it at the facility, but he said he thinks that that will make it a lot easier for everybody, and he
yes.
has seen them work before. And so also
yep.
by having that in there, that will be another reason to keep him in the system longer is
right.
because they'll have
awesome.
To go through training for using the pole.
Yes. Beautiful. Wonderful. Cool. Well, I was actually looking at that yesterday and the fact that it had been taken down. It's like, that should be over in that facility. So that's awesome that they're asking for it. And thank everybody who on an ongoing basis asks about what Jeannie's dad's doing, how he's doing, and you know, we're still holding the space for him to move forward and get back on his feet. He has been doing more and more standing up. So unfortunately, 11 days in the hospital where they didn't get him out of bed didn't leave him in very good stead, but it's moving in the right direction. So thank you, everybody, for holding the space. And if you're out there in listener land, let's have a conversation. I'm finished with my monologue, so it's time for dialogue. That little presentation, if I'd done it in your hometown and you were in the audience, in your local library or church or prison or university, whatever, if I'd walked down off the stage after presenting that, you'd have walked over to me. I know just about everybody in the audience, there's a question there. And you'd have walked over to me and said, well, Michael, what about, I just have this quick question. So please push one, let's have a conversation about it, and let's hear your quick question. Again, if you're on one of those stations where we can't see you, dial 563-999-3581, and we'll have a conversation once you push one. So push one. Hey, yeah, you, there, you, your fingers hesitate. Go ahead, push the button. We've got 35 minutes, lots of time for conversation. But we need somebody who wants to have a conversation, so come on.
Earlier, when I first got on the switchboard, I was telling that we did the book club yesterday and that we're doing the Mind Shifters tomorrow. And anybody that wants to participate in that, and those of you who are on the switchboard who are part of the Mind Shifters, check your email, because this morning I sent you the new list that now has 10 sections in the Mind Shifters. And so you'll have that in your email, and pick one out and do your Mind Shifter before we breathe tomorrow. And we have a hand up now. And I believe it is Miss Roma, 808. You're on the air.
Good morning. Good afternoon, whatever time it is, wherever you live on planet Earth.
Hey there, young lady.
Michael.
Aloha,
that was
what's on your mind today?
One of the most amazing monologues I have ever heard come out of your mouth.
Really?
Yes.
See, I didn't think it was that profound.
Well, it was. And that's
what struck you most? What really hit you?
Well, the fact of the matter is that I've been doing this work for 33 years, and I have heard you explain the premise of it, the power of it, the source of it, acknowledging our own consciousness as the source of our experiences. But every time you talk about it, it's different. I mean, it's obvious that you are the source of this work, because your experience of it, your perception of it, your expression of it is different every time. But it's coming from this bottomless well. So I just wanted to know.
Building brain cells. And, of course, the bottomless well that each person who hears it comes from, their minds, as they build brain cells, as with mine, as with all of us, are able to build more in-depth understandings as the brain cells develop. And, you know, you listen to it once or you go back and listen to it tomorrow, it's liable to be a whole different meaning. I know that when we did the book club, there's a woman on the book club, and there was a video that we had sent for the book club to use. And the woman who runs the book club said, I've watched it 3 times, and each time I watched it, it was like I hadn't heard it before. And, you know, that's the process of building brain cells. So it's definitely a fun process. And, you know, Yeshua talked about you got to have the eyes to see and the ears to hear, and that's what he meant.
That's right. Yeah. Oh.
So do you think, if you were to look at what your mind is generating as a construct right now, is there anything that it's going to change in the way you approach your work, your life, or issues in your life? Or application?
I've been in the groove for a long time, so I'm definitely in the groove. let me see.
Nice.
What might change? I'm trying to think what might change. I don't know. Just an expansion of appreciation and love. I mean, the expansion of my heart, actually, is what occurs when I tune into the radio show. Like, I just had to wipe away a tear that just coming out of my eyes. Mm. And it's gratitude.
Well, I know in the Aramaic, yeah, sweet. When you use that word expansion in Aramaic, that can be properly what they called the kingdom of heaven could be properly called the kingdom of expansion. And that's exactly what it is. Moving into broader and broader contact with the truth, with the fact of what the actual creation is about.
And the exquisite joy of actually merging in the truth as opposed to the illusion that the culture presents us with, you know. It's just like the most amazing, wonderful bath of you know, it's like taking the most wonderful swim and the most exquisite. I mean, it's really hard to put words to, but I'm deeply grateful.
joining you in the gratitude, for sure.
And the joy of that, of gratitude, my goodness. Now, where is gratitude on the frequency schedule? Is it at the top or right? I know it's right next
to it. It's up there pretty high.
Yeah, it's up there pretty high.
Yeah, it's up there pretty high. There's been a lot of research done on gratitude and the impact that it has. A lot of universities have picked up the topic of gratitude and how it fits into the healing process, how it really, you know, is a factor in healing what are called physical diseases, which, of course, we know aren't physical at all.
Yeah. Well, but the heart expanding has got to have a very, very positive impact on the whole human body.
Well, you know, they've discovered that your heart has a brain, very much like your
brain.
And as your heart and your brain synchronize, there's, again, a whole new level of energy that comes into the system and floods throughout the whole structure.
Say more about that.
Say again?
Can you say more about that? The communion of the heart and the brain expanding the energy of the whole system?
Well, you know, we've been brainwashed, and it goes back into history where a conflict between the philosophers and the church occurred and the practice of medicine in the church. And so they, and I'm not remembering all the details of it, but basically they sort of negotiated a peace. Look, you church, you take the soul, the mind, and we'll take the body. And that split occurred, and we're now coming full circle in repairing that split, because there is no separation between the two. They're one and the same, but when they're thought about, when our perceptions are in error and they're thought about as separate rather than flip sides of the same coin, it creates a lot of problems.
Science and religion.
And so synchronizing it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, this is such a special time to be alive because of that, because it's been split.
Absolutely.
So long. Wow. Oh, my gosh.
For sure. Yeah. It is goal time to be alive with all of its trials and opportunities and tribulations. I say it is a cool time to be alive, even with all its trials and tribulations and the craziness going on.
Wow. Yeah, it's so weird how every one of us lives in a completely different universe. I mean, you know, what you'd see with your eyes in terms of how you look at the world looks like pretty much all the same. But it's not. oh my gosh, it's totally manifested and created out of the frequency of every person's consciousness and the communion that takes place between the heart.
And it occurs to me to just read that little section once again, just to tap into it in this context. And again, if you want to look it up, it's workbook lesson 265. It's called Creation's Gentleness is All I See. I have indeed misunderstood the world because I laid my error, my sin, the energies off the mark, in me on it, and then saw it looking back at me. How fierce they seemed. And how deceived was I to think that what I feared was in the world instead of in my mind alone. Now, because out of those errors in thought, we generate this whole world we think we see and we think is out there. We're convinced that what I see, I mean, I saw it. It has to have happened. When I wake up to, no, I saw it, and it must have been a construct in my mind, and I know how to collapse those constructs that are false. And of course, if there's any form of hostility or fear that accompanies a perception, then that perception is based in corrupt data and therefore is false. So when I know how to collapse it, I open the space for a wider influx of truth. And that's one of the most delightful things there is in the world, I think.
Simplicity of the fact that if we perceive ourselves experiencing fear or hostility, the simplicity of it, it's so simple. If we perceive hostility or fear, it's time to pick up a worksheet, period. Anything but
you
love,
got it.
Right? Yeah. And
exactly.
It's just so simple.
And then as you know, when you first spoke, when you called and the joy you were feeling, and you used that word joy and gratitude, you know, there's a, if you Google it, there's an interesting little kind of PowerPoint type presentation by a paleontologist named Teilhard de Chardin. This guy was not only a paleontologist, but also a Catholic priest. And he has a quote, which I always add one word to because I think it's one word off. But as a paleontologist, what he said is, joy is the infallible sign of the presence of the Creator. Now, I think that's off just a little bit because obviously the Creator is always present. So that's not quite true. But joy is the infallible sign of the awareness of the presence of the Creator. When we allow ourselves, we get out of our own muddle, out of our own hostility and fear, out of our own perceptual constructs that are obviously based in corrupt data, then joy leaks in as a natural result of the process. And there's nothing
like,
you need to do for it, nothing you need to pay, nothing you need to earn. You just do your work. And
that was a nice phrase, joy leaks in. I'm picturing water. Nice use of the verb. Oh, well, my sweetheart.
Sweet.
Girl.
Well, I'm
Honey
glad you're
girl.
Having an awesome day.
I am. Thank you very
Sweet.
Much, and thank you for being part of it, everyone.
All right, and we'll see you tomorrow at 11 o'clock Eastern Time, and that's whatever time it is your time in Hawaii. Aloha.
5 o'clock. 5 a.m.
5
okay.
O'clock. All right.
Tomorrow.
See you then. Blessings. All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Joining with joy, for sure. So does that resonate anything for anyone else? How about we carry on the conversation? Who else has something to share or something to question about that particular passage that unpacks into so much? How can we support you? What's on your mind? What's happening in your world? How's your work going with the tools? Did you get a mind shifter? Do you want a mind shift? You know, yesterday we invited people to pick two numbers. And if you'd like to get a mind shifter to use, pick a number from 1 to 13, jot it down. And then pick a number from 1 to 10. We have 10 different sections now in our ever-expanding mind shifter list. Each of them has 13 mind shifters in it. And what I found over the years, and this is a system I've used for 4 decades now, for having people select their mind shifters, is that your guidance will always give you the right two numbers so that you get exactly what you need to work with your mind shifter. So if you've got two numbers in your mind, 1 to 13, 1 to 10, the 1 to 10 will tell us which section, and the 1 to 13 will tell us which particular mind shifter in that section. So if you want to push 1, we'll give you a mind shifter. And while you're thinking about it, whether or not you're going to push 1 and ask for a mind shifter, you've got two numbers. The way that you use the mind shifter is you take a piece of paper, divide it in two, write the mind shifter on the left, and just do a brain dump. Spend a couple hours, especially if it's around a really important issue in your life. Take 2, 3, 4 hours and just sit and write. And you will be shocked at what you uncover in your mind. You'll be shocked. And when you go back 2,000 years ago and you hear Yeshua saying, or you hear the scriptures saying, take care of the heart, for out of it are the issues in life. That word heart would be the unconscious. Take care of your own unconscious, for out of it are the issues in life. And so what the mind shifter does when you pick the right two numbers is it gives you a catalyst to resonate what you perhaps have been hiding from yourself. And, I mean, having worked with this with thousands of people over the years, people are often absolutely shocked when they see what's in their own. It's like, I had no idea that was there. I had no idea that was an issue in my life, except that it keeps happening to me again and again and again, and I don't know why. And it's time to end the denial process. Pay attention to your words. Pay attention to the words that dump out on the page. And then, what comes out on the right-hand side of the page, once you finish writing your mind shifter, is now the fodder for deciding which tools you're going to use. I didn't realize this issue was in my mind. Is that a worksheet? Is that somewhere I need to use a commitment? Do I need the communication tool here? Do I want to use the codependence to interdependence worksheet? Do I want to use the power person? What is it that I want to do here? And so it's a powerful way to start to look at those internal dynamics without having to wait for somebody to come along and kick you in the limitation, without having to wait for it to quote-unquote manifest, to come back into your life again. Been there before, once, twice, 3, 4, 5 times. Sooner or later, you got to admit, my God, I'm the one who is there every time. It isn't all about everybody else. What I'm feeling is inside of me. It belongs to me. It's about me. Yes, I built a picture of a world, and I laid my content, my unresolved issues, on that world. And I saw it unfold. There's this one inescapable piece. You see, sooner or later, you got to admit, you're the one that's feeling it. And when you realize you're the one that's feeling it, you realize it's a reflection of an energy that's happening inside of you. And if you don't like it, forgive it. If you don't like it, remove it. And that is the bottom line of what to do with anything in you that's less than love.
And we have a hand, and I believe it's Miss Julie. And now we've got the first time that this has happened before, because she said her numbers are 6 and 9, but which one is the section and which one is the number? Because there's a 6th section.
Can you
and
hear
a 9th
me?
Section. Yes, you're
loud
on,
and clear.
Okay, yeah. I did the first number from the 1 through 13, and I did the second number from 1 to 10, through 10. just in the order Michael spoke them.
So to be section number 9, and I actually reversed that from what I usually do, but so that'd be section number 9 and mind shifter number 6. So do you have the list in front of you, Jeannie? And what's the mind shifter?
Give me just a second to open
And thank you, Jeannie, for mentioning that.
I didn't think about that, but it is definitely now the way it turns around. Okay, let's see. So section 9 is opening. Hold on.
By the way, it was really nice to hear the joy resonating and feel the joy resonating from Roma. And it all lines up. At a certain point, it just starts really lining up. You know?
Yeah, it does.
Great. Yeah.
Okay, so section 9 and number 6 is perception.
What's the title of section 9, sweetie?
Oh, section 9 is living without perception and memory.
Yeah, that intrigues me, memory. Yeah, you've been talking about that lately. Okay, go ahead.
So your number 6 is perception is a cheap copy.
Uh-huh.
Of the ability to think.
Oh, I like that. Oh, this is going to be a great one.
They're the first two thoughts to go on the right-hand side of the page.
Okay. I like that, and this is going to be a great one. Yeah, and it'll be really great. Here's the third thought. To see what comes up that may be, a barrier to, ready to let go of and release. And, because here I am saying already I feel joy about this, but if anything's in the way of me experiencing the truth of that mind shifter, I will come across it.
And yay. Sounds like you're ready to have fun with it.
Yeah. I've been having some interesting experiences, but I don't know that I'm going to be able to speak them right now. But they're along the line.
Take a shot.
About a week ago, I got this, this way of thinking about God and the presence of God. And it was let God in instead of just letting go of fear. Let God in, and then, so let God into me and let me into God. And so then that is me living aware of the presence of God that's living me. And just what an amazing way to recognize God as present, instead of some image I've made of God or someone I pray to for, help me get this and that, and just, or waiting for God to do it all. I mean, when God comes into me because I'm willing to receive God's presence, then I can accomplish anything, and I mean, this means no judgment, no doubts, just because I am created by the Creator and I want to be in relationship with the Creator, then there's the way that it is. And I've got to be willing to be receptive to the way it is, let God in, and really see if I can feel that whole thing, and then walk through life with that awareness and see what reveals, just see what unfolds. It's kind of
cool. You look at this, you look at this section of mind shifters and it's living without perception. And you go back to that lesson on what is the world. And if I remember correctly, that's the lesson in form. It says perception is a skill made up by us to take the place of what the Creator gave us in creation. In other words, a gift was given. It was metaphorically referred to as the Garden of Eden. And we pooped in the garden and said, I don't want anything to do with that perception. We then replaced. I mean, we literally created this whole skill that, you know, it's kind of like the little kid. Yeah, it's kind of like the little kid that, you know, you're giving them instruction they don't want to hear, and they put their fingers in the ear, they go, nah, 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 I'm not listening. And that's exactly what perception is. And it is literally, I mean, it's to the point, it's so advanced in the whole structure of our society that everybody's going around with their fingers in the ears going, nah, 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 I'm not going to listen. They're living in these perceptual constructs of rage and hate and fear and conflict and prejudice and racism and degradation. And, I mean, the whole thing is just...
And stress. Yeah, goals.
And it's all fake.
Created from that. Yeah. Yep.
So letting go of the fake is interesting, and you're going to end up developing a different language and a different way of thinking that people who want to hang out in the perceptual
replica
constructs of their minds are not going to particularly like it.
Yeah, they're trapped. Since the pandemic, what we've been noticing here and there and everywhere almost is that you pretty much have to negotiate everything if you can actually talk to a person. And being on hold and listening to the silly prompts and the nauseating music, which really isn't music, you know, you end up hanging up after as long as you can stand it. And along with that brings up rage and whatever, you know. I mean, so it's like people are just hiding from each other, withdrawing, you know, like, I don't want to talk to you because you might dump your rage on me. I don't know why everybody's so withdrawn except who knows where all these minds went during the pandemic. I mean, just withdrawing further from self, from true
fear.
Self. And now,
fear.
Yeah, and now, yeah, feeling usurped. Yeah.
And it's been a great excuse. I mean, a great excuse, when, you know, pardon us with you calling in, but we've got lower staff because of COVID.
Yeah.
I think what that translates into is, you know, we've caught on. We can cut our employee force in half, save money, and have this excuse. So you wait, and we don't really have to service you. And I think that's been part of the game. And then we've got this whole thing called inflation. They're blaming, you know, the government for inflation. And yet, if you look at the financial reports of these big corporations, they're doubling and tripling their profits. That's not inflation. Mm-hmm. That's that part, just part of that same story. Oh, we've got an excuse. We've got a way to raise the rent and have people put up with it because, well, you know, COVID happened.
And
I mean, if you
subtract the labor, subtract the customer service.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So there really is no inflation going on in our country. No inflation at all. The corporations are just jacking up the prices so much that, and look at the, you know, just look at their financial reports. Gee, last year they made, you know, $21 billion. This year it's $38
billion. And when have we ever known them to be
honest? Why are their prices?
When have we ever known them to be actually 100% honest about those reports?
Yeah. It's definitely a wake-up call all around, for sure.
But my message right now, the wake-up call that I'm spreading around is, we, meaning the I of who I am, have to draw the line. See, it's not just a matter of whining about and complaining about. And so I went to a meeting the other night and I got a feeling for where to draw the line is. Go back into the laws that were written longer ago to get the backbone of where to draw the line and say, heretofore, we're relying on these laws and the other laws are illegal. You know, and that takes a lot of discernment and commitment to sticking through that process. You know, I mean, I can do this in myself, okay? So there's that awakening, you know, and the brain cells that I've been developing, but to pass it on to a world, There's just such little things. Like yesterday, somebody needed to write a check, and I handed them a pen. And she took the pen, which I've done before, you know, and I just laughed. I'm like, well, I have plenty of pens. It's okay. You can have it. But there's that attitude of, you have more than I do, so I can take it from you. It's okay with me. That's my integrity. That's the law I live by. And it's just like, it's very, you know, Roma was saying we all have our own universe, and we do, but the overlapping of them is a strange exchange right now. And so if I hold my higher ground and my higher resonance, my cleared out resonance, I'm going to help lift others to a place where they actually feel back in integrity again. And I have to stop pointing my finger too. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, if my perception's generating pain, it's my own mind looking back at me. But if you go back 2,000 years ago, if you look at the Aramaic Beatitudes, it speaks about how we activate certain neural structures that are specifically designed to guide us to happiness and well-being. And one of the requirements is that you enter into just and fair behavior between people.
Mm-hmm.
And our world has just fallen so far from that standard that no wonder people are suffering. Because
we
fall away from that standard, what we think we're doing to someone else, we get the original, they just get the carbon copy.
That word enter into, that it's a choice. If you see it, I see it happening, that's a line that I can draw and say I choose to enter into above that line. Or the something like that. So then I lift them us both. That's in the principles of the Course of Miracles too. That you know, wherever there are two gathered, or you know, that there's one who has a little bit stronger capability to hold the space for the other and enter in and invite into that space. Like, you know, knock and it will be opened unto you. Well, you have to enter the doorway then. You can. You don't have to.
Yep. Definitely. So I'm with you, joining you in it.
If you can't stay on the other side of the door very well, you know, because it's uncomfortable, that's just those habitual ways that we've been behaving before. And so we ask for it to be removed, and we start to feel more comfortable with a new way of operating with each other, which is according to the eternal laws of God, laws of living, the way it is. Okay. Hey, I should let you close the show, I guess, right?
Well, you have an absolutely awesome day, and we'll look forward to seeing you in the Mind Shifter session at 11 o'clock Eastern Time tomorrow. And everybody, create the best year yet of your eternal life. It's an awesome gift to give the world. Thanks for joining us. Blessings.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with Dr. Michael Rice and myself, Jeannie Rice, and Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pichet, as we present the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We are here for 2 hours every Monday through Friday from 12 noon to 2 o'clock Eastern Time on Mind Shifters Radio. For more information on Aramaic forgiveness, please visit www.whyagain.org. That's www.whyagain.org.